Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Easygoing Podcast with your hosts, Juan Marcel.
And Rylan.
You know what, guys? I have to fill you in on something. Every time I'm doing that intro,
I'm mocking him.
She's just sitting on the side mocking me. She's like, oh, I'm Juan Marcel.
But not in a mean way.
Yeah, sure. It feels mean. So anyways, we are in Arizona right now. It's been a crazy couple of weeks since being back home. It's always a lot when we come back home too, just trying to balance our time between what we've been doing, which was, you know, before we came home, everything we did was together and worrying about content creation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to budget in time for family, seeing friends.
Yeah.
Our alone time, our time together, and making content. So, I'm sure some of you noticed we missed an upload.
Yes. Hopefully you did.
Yeah. So, we want to just apologize because that's not something we ever planned on doing. This week is going to be calm again, and we're back on track. We just needed a little break, so we apologize, but thanks for sticking with us.
But yeah, it's been nice to be home because we've been able to get back into a good routine, like working out, getting a lot of sleep.
Yes.
And spending time with friends and family, which has been so, so nice.
Yeah, we're feeling really recharged. And we were pretty high anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it last week with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been nice to get to acknowledge that and start working on things to help us manage it again. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to give a little update to you guys about what I spoke about last week with feeling anxiety with my family and around my family members. A huge thing that really helped me, which I really wanted to share with you guys, if any of you are dealing with the same thing, was that I actually just finally fully acknowledged the fact that I'm dealing with this anxiety and just took the extra step to sit down and talk with my family about it. And it really helped me because I got to stop treating it like something I needed to hide around them. And instead, I got to acknowledge it with them and talk through it with them and let them know, hey, I'm just dealing with this thing and it's no, you know, nothing against you. It's not that you make me feel uncomfortable, but if you notice I'm uncomfortable, I just have a heightened level of anxiety right now that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And it was like this huge weight was lifted off me. And honestly, it's kind of ironic, but it's kind of made the anxiety around them go away.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. I don't know. I feel like the anxiety comes from like hiding things.
Yeah,
hiding things from family and stuff.
Yeah. And one thing about it, though, that I don't like is that now I've made it a habit to just announce it to anybody. And now I don't want it to be a thing where it's like the only thing that makes me feel better is if I say it.
Yeah.
Because then that's just another coping mechanism, I think.
Yeah.
And I do want to find actual ways of managing it. So, you know, Rylan and I are scheduling some therapy.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing therapy separately, but I'm going to be talking about this and learning ways to manage it, learning what's at the root of it, hopefully. And I'll definitely keep you guys updated on that because I got a great response to the last episode. You know, a few emails that really touched me, people saying that I'm not the only one dealing with this. So I do want to thank you guys for that. And yeah, anyways, today's topic was sent into us via Spotify Q&A prompt that we leave at the bottom of every episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it was submitted by Lily. And this is what they said. Could you talk about how to deal with codependency problems in a relationship? I'm in a 2-year-long relationship and really struggling with that. Love you guys and all that you do. Well, thank you so much, Lily, first of all. We love you too. And thank you so much for being a supporter of everything that we do. And one thing we want to say is something you guys are probably tired of hearing from us, which is you're not alone on that.
And it's something that we struggle with too. We're struggling with it right now.
Yeah, we are coming to terms with the fact that we actually do struggle from this. We always believed we didn't.
Yeah.
But that's because what we're realizing about codependency is I think a lot of people think it is only the unhealthy form, like unhealthy relationship version of it, where it's like toxic or something.
Yeah.
But honestly, we have a very healthy feeling relationship, you know, and we feel happy.
Of course, yeah.
And we love each other. We love the feeling of the codependency. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel like anything's wrong.
Yeah.
Until we
separate.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we're like anxious.
Yeah. We came home after being together nonstop for almost the past
months.
Year.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
4 months, but there was just one little break between. So really a full year of nonstop being together. And not just like living together. We do content creation together. Mm-hmm. So we run a business together. We live together. We travel together. We model together. It's like everything.
Yeah. And we'll get more into it. But I think that the last month in Paris was when we really started to, the codependency evolved to something that maybe was more
unhealthy.
Unhealthy. Yeah.
In this episode, we want to talk about the signs to look out for that you may have some codependency issues in your own relationship, how this codependency can affect you from our own experience with it, and then finally
how you can manage it.
Yeah. How to manage it and deal with it and get back to a healthy balance within your relationship. So here are five signs to look out for based off of what we started to notice in our own relationship. And again, we are not professionals.
Yeah, no.
These are not like the end-all be-all signs. These are just based off of our own personal experience, and we want to share with you what we started to notice in our own relationship that
made us
realize that we have these issues.
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be a lot more besides just these five. But the first one was our schedules began to morph into like a hybrid version.
Yeah, of each other's individual schedule.
Yeah, exactly. And like, instead of it was like I had my schedule for the day, it was like, oh, what are we doing for the day?
Yeah, and it was not even a conscious decision. It was just like we didn't even think about our own needs.
No, no, not at all.
We were just like, what are we doing?
Or if we did think about something that we wanted to do, we would say it. And if the other didn't, it was just like, oh, okay, then like I won't do that today.
Exactly. And that leads me to the next sign that you should look out for, which was we started to feel guilty when one of us wanted to do something and the other didn't.
Yeah.
The person that didn't want to do it would be like, you know, I feel bad because they really want to do that, but I want to do this other thing. So maybe I should just do that for them.
Yeah.
Individually, we have very different schedules.
Mm-hmm.
We run on different times.
Yeah. We like different things, obviously. Rylan, different people.
Yeah. Rylan likes a super like structured morning.
Yeah.
At the very least, she wants a structured morning and a structured night.
Yeah.
So she likes to wake up at a certain time. She likes to like be mindful about what she's doing in the morning, journaling, blah, blah, blah. She also really likes to work out in the morning.
Yeah, I love to work out.
For me, on the other hand, I am more of a night owl. So I tend to stay up late. I also tend to work out at night because it helps me get tired.
Yeah.
Helps me get out whatever energy at the end of the day. And I also tend to be more productive at night versus in the morning. So I like to do a lot of the admin work and stuff at night after I've gotten the day out of the way. And Rylan wants to do all her productive stuff in the morning.
Yes.
And then relax at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of, as you can imagine, that morph of like us becoming one led to a lot of push and pull. It was like, okay, I need to wake up a little earlier for Rylan's sake. And she was like, I need to go to sleep later to hang out with Juan at night or to help him with certain things that he like, you know, needs my help on with the admin stuff.
Yeah. And I think that our love languages both are pretty much
quality time.
Quality time. And so I feel like that really affects us because like we always want to be with each other and that's how we show our love to each other. So especially having our job together and our work days together, it's like, oh, then what's the excuse of like not having quality time with that person? And I want to show my love that way, you know. I feel like that definitely affects us as well.
Yeah, so we started to feel guilty a lot for maybe feeling like we were influencing the other in a way that they didn't want to be, you know, their daily schedule. And that leads me to the next sign, which is having no time for our own individual interests.
Yeah.
Over time, that guilt transformed into us just being like, okay, well, maybe I don't need to do this.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe I'll just do that later so that we can hang out now or we can do this now.
Yeah.
And things just kept getting pushed individually. And then all of a sudden we were both, you know, neglecting ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big sign that some codependency is happening because we weren't conscious of it. And that's why, again, I stress, like, it doesn't always feel unhealthy. It doesn't always feel obviously toxic, codependency.
No.
It can also be something that comes from a place of really loving each other.
Yeah.
And really wanting to be together all the time and do everything together.
Yeah.
And you just have to realize that that's also unhealthy in its own way. Just because it doesn't feel like it, it still is.
Yeah. And the next one is anxiety at just the thought of doing things without the other person. Like for me, going to the gym without Juan, I talked about this in the last podcast, but going to the gym without Juan was like so, like it was such an anxious thought for me. Mm-hmm. I got so much anxiety of just imagining myself alone at the gym. I don't know why.
Or even just if she wanted to just grab something, like a snack or something.
Yeah.
We had to walk together to go do it, even if I was just relaxing and didn't really want to do that right now. Or if she wanted to go on a walk, she would just get anxiety about it not being with me. It also led to me all of a sudden finding comfort in having Rylan around whenever there was a social situation. So if I had to meet up with someone, I was like, okay, if Rylan's there, I'll feel comfortable. Yeah. So let's arrange this so that Rylan can be there.
Yeah.
Or any situation like that, I was like, okay, so from now on, Rylan is my plus one no matter what.
Yeah.
And as nice as that is, it's also really important to prioritize individual time with your friends or individual time to go on that walk or to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Time with your own thoughts, time with yourself.
Yeah.
And also it's a self-esteem thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you literally don't feel confident enough to be by yourself, that's an issue.
I definitely can see that a lot with myself.
Yeah. And the final sign that I wanted to talk about was added stress from feeling responsible for the other person's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of guilt, we also started to feel stress in general, just between the two of us, because we would see that. Obviously, we started noticing that each other, the things that we wanted to do kept getting pushed.
Yeah.
So we were like noticing that we were each neglecting what we wanted to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got more stressed out about this because we were like, there's not enough time in the day for both of us to do what we need to do. And that's really stressful because you also feel responsible for the other person because you're like, if we don't fit in Rylan's gym time in the morning and it gets pushed again, she's going to feel really crappy at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get time to relax, I'm going to feel like I never got any time for that.
Yeah.
And Rylan feels stressed because she's like, I want you to be able to relax. And so we were just feeling a lot of stress and feeling like there's not enough time in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot.
So now here are some ways that this started to affect us as a couple and individually. Mm-hmm. As a couple, we started to bicker a little bit more. Like the last 2 weeks in Paris, we were definitely
snappy,
getting a little more snappy with each other.
Yeah, it was weird because we're not like that.
No, we like never ever fight or like are snappy with each other.
Yeah, we're like in perfect harmony usually.
Yeah.
We always used to comment on how weird it is that we just never fight.
Yeah.
And then those last 2 weeks we were like, dude, we're fighting a lot. Why?
Yeah.
Like,
and it wasn't like fights. Like we would fight before, but they were like pretty spread out and they were like a little bit more of like a reasonable thing versus the last 2 weeks in Paris was more like little tiny things that were just like
all the time though.
Yeah. And it would just be like, oh, this annoys me and this, and I think that that's coming from like a build of resentment for the fact that we both couldn't do what we wanted to do.
Yeah,
in a way.
And it's just resentment for the fact that you yourself aren't getting to do what you want to do, but also the stress of the environment that you feel responsible for the fact that the other person doesn't get to do what they want to do.
Yeah. And this led to a new tension between us, which we've never really felt before.
Yeah.
It was making both of us pretty sad, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, I think the tension itself was a product of the fact that we were individually pretty unhappy.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were just worse versions of ourselves, you know? So the tension was like, just in general, if we were alone at that point, we would be more moody and more have more mood swings and stuff because we were neglecting ourselves.
Mm-hmm, totally.
And that's a natural human reaction. When things are out of balance, the human body, basically everything in life is you trying to find balance.
Yeah.
That's what's natural.
Mm-hmm.
Nature wants balance. Yeah. Everything wants balance. Your hormones, your like habits, your physical activity, your mindset, your like mental state. It needs balance. It can't always be stressed. It can't always feel guilty. You can't never be getting the physical exercise that you
are craving.
Yeah, that you want. And so we were just out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like your individual body and mind tells you what it wants for you, not for the other person or anything else. So that's why it's important to do those things when your body craves them. Like for me, working out, when my body wanted it, I should have done it instead of been like, oh, I want to wait for one.
Yeah, you know. I would want to go at night, but then Rylan would be too tired.
Yeah.
She doesn't work like that. And so then we'd end up being like, well,
I guess we just won't go
we'll
today.
Just stay in and watch something. And so we would skip it. But it's just what needed to happen was I needed to just go when I needed to go and she needed to go when she needed to go.
Yeah.
And then we would have both ended up happy and we would have had time together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it also led to both of our self-esteems starting to go down.
Yeah.
Because we just weren't prioritizing ourselves at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a period of time where we were both really getting insecure.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I had never missed the gym that consistently in my life.
Yeah, me neither, ever.
And on top of that, just like our sleep schedules started to get affected drastically. Because I think we were trying to regain control of our days at night, you know, by doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Getting lost on TikTok, whatever, because we were like, you know what? We worked hard all day.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to do what we wanted to do. So let's try and get our time back now.
Yeah.
And then we'd be up till like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And then we'd wake up, you know, we'd be really sleepy because we had to still wake up kind of early.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just this cycle. We'd feel sleepy. We weren't eating as well as we should be. We weren't going to the gym when we wanted to. Mm-hmm. We weren't having any time to ourselves.
Yeah. And then this started, I mean, at least for me, I started to have mood swings a little bit.
Again. Oh, yeah. A little bit?
And I didn't know because we, like, I thought it was my period coming all the time, but it was really just like an imbalance in myself instead of hormone balance.
I had my own version of mood swings. Like, for me, it was just moments of high stress for no reason. Like, I would just sit there and be so stressed out.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what's going on? I'm like,
we
don't have enough time. Yeah. We can't do this. We got to do this.
And I feel like we're being like so dramatic right now because we were really just super codependent the past month in Paris. It's not like our whole relationship. We've been like this unhealthy type, you know.
The whole point of what we're talking about right now is the signs that we started to notice and then how that started to really affect us at the end before we realized, oh, we have to change this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like why we were giving you guys those signs was so that you could look out for this so you don't have to get to this point.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, our whole relationship, we pretty much have spent the same amount of time together and had no issues.
Mm-hmm. Because we would still like decide we wanted to go to the gym without one another or decide we wanted to eat something else without one or the other, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't until like
Paris.
Yeah, that we really started to just like be like, no, everything is done together, you know?
And also it just built up.
Yeah.
Because it was progressively getting there. I don't think it just started in Paris.
No. I wouldn't say that either.
I think in Milan was already there.
Mm-hmm.
It just built up.
Yeah. But yeah, back to the things we were talking about. I just had to say that because I didn't want people to be like, dang, they're so unhealthy. No, but, but also I think that lately I relied heavily on Juan helping me with personal issues. Like, I had a lot of things happen the last like 2 weeks in Paris and I was like bringing all of my personal things to Juan, which I think that in a lot of cases you have to deal with that yourself.
Well, no, and this is good that we get to talk about this on here. It's not that you need to deal with it yourself.
Yeah.
The issue I had with this was you were relying on me to solve things for
you. Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
You know, it's good to talk to me about everything and to, you know, let me into what's going on. And I always want to be there to give you my own advice, but you literally were coming to me to solve your issues for
you. Exactly.
And I I couldn't yeah. take on anything more than my own stuff. I had yeah. stuff going on in my personal life, but we had no boundaries mm-hmm. set at that point.
Exactly. And I think that when you're bringing issues, like personal issues, to your partner for them to help you solve it, for one, it makes you
weaker,
less confident in yourself. Yeah, and weaker. And two, it weakens them because you're bringing them a lot of stress and anxiety because they want you to be okay and they want to help you. But it's also like, you know, they have their own things. Everybody has their own problems.
Yes.
So
that was a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, overall, we were less productive for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Started falling behind on a lot of things, which yeah. added more stress.
Mm-hmm.
It was just this ball of stress. It was like yeah. a cloud of anxiety and stress.
Yeah.
At the end there. And we were just lesser versions of ourselves mm-hmm. individually. And by extension, we together. Became a lesser version of our relationship.
Yeah.
Which is really sad to admit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was ever at a level where we were like, is this going to work out? Or like, yeah, it's not no. like that. It was just like, not. What is going on? We feel so not what we are.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that we realized it, because I definitely think a lot of couples, it could have just kept mm-hmm. going in that direction.
Until it was like irreversible.
As in like individually, we literally would become unable to
be without one another.
Yeah. And like be independent.
Yeah.
Or it would lead to the destruction of our relationship because
mm-hmm.
of like resentment and little arguments turning into big arguments over time. And
yeah. And that's what I think. Like, I don't think a healthy relationship is just never running into any of these issues ever.
Oh, yeah.
A healthy relationship is seeking out the problems within the relationship and going through them together and solving them and becoming a stronger version of what it was ever before.
Yes. So when problems arise, it's you and your partner versus the problem.
Yeah.
Not you and this problem versus mm-hmm. your partner.
Yeah.
So like we just looked at it together and we were like, what's going on? What's at the root of it? And mm-hmm. how do we fix it? Because yeah. we know we love each other.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're happy together. So mm-hmm. something is making us unhappy. And that's why we want to get into this last part of this episode, which is the things that you should work on changing with your partner if you ever find yourself in this situation
mm-hmm.
that can help you guys get back on track
yeah.
as a relationship and also individually. So first, we have to understand that even though we absolutely love being together 24/7
yeah.
and enjoy each other's company more than anything, it's not healthy to be with anyone that often.
Yeah.
Everyone needs time with themselves.
Mm-hmm. You have to have your own thoughts.
Yeah.
You have to just be a separate individual.
Yeah. And you have to, you know, foster relationships with your friends, yes. keep those alive,
mm-hmm.
make time for your family.
Yeah.
All of these things. Before you met your partner, you were a full individual person yeah. with full individual interests and individual relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And joining with a partner doesn't mean that every aspect of your life is now joined to theirs.
Yeah.
You need to still maintain your individuality.
Exactly. And I'm sure that some of you have experienced, like, imagine one of your best friends or your friends getting a boyfriend and then you and your friend group is like, oh, they've changed.
Everyone has gone through this.
Exactly. Everybody has. Yeah. And that's what's important to understand, is that you don't let your boyfriend change you. Like, you stay who you are. Nothing should change once you get a boyfriend.
And, you know, I do think toxic, bad relationships, the boyfriend will try to do that, or the girlfriend will. I've been in yeah, a relationship like that.
Exactly.
But what we're trying to say here is it's not always obvious
yeah.
and it's not always intentional.
Sometimes it's just like you're not around as much your friends, or
yeah, that's
you're
what I'm
only
saying.
Bringing your boyfriend around. You know,
this was our relationship is healthy and it was still happening.
Yes, exactly.
So it's not always the unhealthy relationship that leads you down this path. So just mm-hmm. being aware of this together.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable and you need to address it. And also, in general, I think friends, at least if they're good friends,
yeah,
they have your best interests
mm-hmm.
at heart. So if they're pointing something out, which that wasn't happening with us yeah, by no. any means.
I don't think that really affected our friends as much. We just weren't around as much.
Yeah. But if they're pointing something out, you should look at it. It doesn't mean it's an attack on your partner.
For sure.
Just look at, have I budgeted time in my life for these relationships with friends?
Mm-hmm.
Should I budget more time? Do I need to foster these relationships more? Do I want to?
Yeah.
And if you're just like, but I just don't have time, or it's just not a priority in my life right now, talk to your partner about it and make it a priority, because it needs to be. We're multifaceted human beings.
Yes.
We're not just our relationship.
No.
Another thing that we started to do to get back on track was we started going to the gym separately and spending time with our families separately and encouraging each other to go see our friends separately.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, just not always needing to have the other person there with us for those things.
Which is so hard at the beginning, I'll tell you. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was so hard for me because I like to do everything with you. I mean, I think for me, it brings a lot of anxiety because I have a little bit of separation anxiety. But that's something that I have to work on, you know?
Yeah. Even 3 years in of us being together.
Yeah.
After a while, after a couple times of us not doing something together.
Yeah.
She will be like, hey, you're not forgetting about me, are you? You still love me?
I know.
I'm like, babe, aren't we past this point?
Yeah, we should
be. This is forever, okay?
I just need a lot of reassurance.
Yeah. And so I just really have to push her to be like, no, like you went and saw your friends the other night.
Yeah.
And I was like, go have fun, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I really want you to be present. Like, don't worry about what I'm doing, or don't worry about the, you know, because we had some work we had to do that she ended up having to cancel that because her friends were asking to hang out. And I was like, it's fine. Like,
yeah,
that's another reason we missed an episode podcast. Was because I was like, this is important for you. You need to see your friends. You're in town. You need to go prioritize seeing them.
Yeah.
And those little actions are huge in a relationship. I mean, you had a great time and your social meters back up, you know, you feel like a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
It feels good to feel that you're not neglecting that area of your life.
Yeah, definitely.
And I hung out with friends last week and I felt great after, you know. And that's not to say from now on, you never come around. Like the next time I hang out with those friends, I want to bring you.
Yeah.
But it's like just having those moments where it's like, okay, I'm just going to go and have time with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. So definitely that's one thing to get back on track.
And we all have to know that it's healthy to have our own interests.
Yes.
For me, I love to paint. I love listening to my type of music because we have a different type of music.
Yes, we definitely do.
That we like.
She's a Swiftie.
I mean, I love Swiftie. I love Taylor Swift, but I love Swifty. I love Taylor Swift, but I'm like a Lana Del Rey girl. Like I'm a sad indie girl and he's like a rap guy.
Well, I'm rap and alternative rock.
Well, okay. Well, we're going to name everything that we like.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of ska. You like ska?
Yeah.
We just have generally different music tastes.
Yeah. He likes playing video games.
Yeah, I like to play video games every so often and have that time to just unload my brain and just focus on whatever. Yeah. And then we both have been craving reading separately. I have this new book, which I want to recommend to you guys. It's awesome so far. It's called Creativity Inc. For any of you creators out there or people that are in creative endeavors, it's a great book so far that I'm reading. You've been reading this book called The Painful Truth?
No, the Untruthful Pain? No. Yeah, Untruthful
Pain. It's The Painful Truth. It's absolutely the Painful Truth.
Oh, yeah, it's The Painful Truth.
I mean,
you're right.
Untruthful Pain.
I have dyslexia.
Unbelievable, man.
No, but it's a really good book. It's like, I mean, I'm just obsessed with it.
Exactly. And it's so nice to be able to prioritize those things.
Yeah.
And have our separate interests still.
Exactly. Because we have a lot in common.
Obviously. Hope so.
Well, I know. But I'm just saying, like, we have so much in common that sometimes we neglect the things that we don't have in common because we just are like, oh, I want to focus on the stuff I have in common with him.
Yeah.
So
it's good to keep that in mind and prioritize your own interests and keep those alive.
Yeah.
So that's another major thing to get back on track. We also began to view our schedules as separate things that we needed to find the balance between the two of them in to make time for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So managing our days how we wanted to.
Yes.
While coming together to make time for each other within those days.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to find time for ourselves within our joint schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of waking up in the morning going, okay, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay, do I have time to do this or that?
Yeah.
Now we wake up and we go, what am I doing? What do we need to do? And then where is the time for us
to just hang out?
Yeah, to just be together.
Yeah.
And it's a much healthier way of looking at your days.
Mm-hmm. We also started to prioritize alone time, which for me is essential.
For everyone.
For everybody. For everybody, for sure. But I think like I forget that a lot. I always am just like filling my days up with people because I just love to be around people and the people that I love.
Yeah.
But then when I finally get to be alone and like take a bath and be by myself, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how much I needed this.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing about me is I'm actually a person that really thrives alone.
Mm-hmm.
And before Ryla and I have spent so much time alone, I genuinely love being alone. I sort through what I've been stressing about in the week.
Yeah.
I sort through what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I get that time to really check in with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And also just be comfortable with myself.
Yeah.
Comfortable talking to other people by myself, not you next to me, you know?
Yeah.
That's so important for self-esteem.
Yeah.
For just understanding where your mental health is at.
And I feel like a lot of our best ideas come from like solitude, like being alone.
Mm.
Because you're able to like get in touch with your creativity instead of like, yes, it's great to have two minds together and like be on a creative endeavor and, you know, finding creative things together. That's great. But being alone is a different sort of, you get to dive so deep into something. And like, I just think that it's really important.
Also, this isn't to say that you just completely switch from being together all the time to being alone all the time.
Yeah.
It just means setting more boundaries and feeling like two separate people who are better together.
Yeah. And I feel like I talked about this a few podcasts ago, like probably 2 months ago, about how like sometimes I feel like our mind is like
one. Yeah.
Which like I think can be healthy in certain ways. But I think that sometimes that's like when it started to get unhealthy, was because I just was thinking that everything, all of your thoughts are the same as mine. You know?
When you neglect yourself, you are actually hurting your relationship.
Yeah.
When you are a lesser version of yourself, how can you be the best partner for your person?
Yeah.
That's something that we have had to realize is a lot of people think about prioritizing your partner as making sacrifices and doing anything to keep them happy. And we don't think about it in terms of showing up for ourselves so that we can be better for them. And that's a huge thing that I think, now that we've realized this and we're working on this, I think we are genuinely unstoppable.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that like relationships, you do have to deal with a lot of like compromising and stuff, but it should never get to an unhealthy point where you're just compromising on all of your interests and not wanting to do the things that you want to do anymore, you know?
Yes, exactly. So guys, we hope that this provided you with some value. And if it did, and you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We are currently at 326 5-star reviews on Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Let's keep it going because we want to hit 400.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
We can do it. And as always, if you have any episode topic suggestions, questions, or just want to say hi, you can always email us at the podcast email, which is easygoingpod@gmail.com. We also leave a prompt at the bottom of each episode on Spotify for you to submit anything you'd like, or you can reach out to us on any of our social media accounts. We have all of this written out in the show notes. You can always have access to us or be able to reach out with any of those suggestions or questions. And we love seeing that.
Yes. And with all that being said, we love you guys so, so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. We appreciate every one of you that listens. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yay.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.